It's nearly 12 o'clock and time for the KMXT Midday Report. Thank you for listening to KMXT. On 100.1 FM, it's your public radio station, broadcasting from here in Kodiak, Alaska, where it's 49 degrees, 50% chance of rain today, cloudy skies, high near 53, northeast wind to 15. Rain is likely tonight, low around 48, northeast to 20. And for tomorrow, rain likely, mainly before 4 p.m. Cloudy skies tomorrow too, with a high near 53, east wind to 15. Coming up on the Midday Report, the Alaska Senate joined the House in passing a budget yesterday. Dylan Simard has a story about mud bugs. Distance runner Allie Ostrander has a video. And Lydia Jacoby of Seward is very likely going to be an Olympian. Those stories and more after national headlines.
Live from NPR News, I'm Barbara Klein. For the first time, tomorrow will be a federal holiday. NPR's Brian Naylor reports in just a few minutes, President Biden is due to sign into law the Juneteenth National Independence Day Act.
June 19th marks the day that people who were enslaved in Texas were freed in 1865, 2.5 years after President Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation. Congress gave final approval to the June 19th federal holiday Wednesday, and the legislation didn't stipulate when it should first be celebrated. The Office of Personnel Management determined that it should take effect this year, and that since June 19th is Saturday, federal workers could take this Friday off. The holiday is already celebrated in 47 states and the District of Columbia. Brian Naylor, NPR News.
The Supreme Court has rejected a challenge to the Affordable Care Act. NPR's Carrie Johnson reports justices ruled the plaintiffs didn't show they were injured by the law.
Justice Stephen Breyer wrote for the court majority, joined by six other justices. The Supreme Court majority once again turned back a lawsuit by Texas and other Republican-led states. The challengers wanted to torpedo the 2010 health care law that's provided coverage to millions of Americans. The court majority says because there is no longer a financial penalty for refusing to have insurance, the plaintiffs can't show they've suffered any harm from the law. The Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare, was a signature priority for the Obama administration. Justices Samuel Alito and Neil Gorsuch dissented in the case. Carrie Johnson, NPR News, Washington.
In another major decision today, the High Court unanimously sided with a Catholic group that refuses to consider applications from same-sex couples wanting to become foster parents. The city of Philadelphia had refused to place children for foster care with the group. The justices said the city's refusal violates the Constitution's guarantee of the free exercise of religion. At the White House today, Dr. Anthony Fauci announced a more than $3 billion program to advance antiviral pills to treat COVID-19 and prepare for other pandemic threats.
Vaccines clearly remain the centerpiece of our arsenal against COVID-19. However, antivirals can and are an important complement to existing vaccines, especially for individuals with certain conditions that might put them at a greater risk, for those whom vaccines may not be as protective.
Fauci says the program will accelerate clinical tests of promising antiviral medicines that are already in various stages of development. This is NPR News.
NPR News is brought to you in part by Providence Kodiak Island Counseling Center. For an appointment or more information, 481-2400.
The Alaska Senate passed a state budget by a margin of one vote yesterday afternoon. The House passed it earlier in the day. This year's permanent fund dividend would be $525 if the legislature doesn't add more funding later. A motion that would have funded the dividend at $1,100 failed to receive support of 3/4 of the members of each chamber, which was required for it to pass. A program to lower the cost of electricity in high-cost areas and university scholarships are not funded in the budget due to the failure of the votes to draw from the Constitutional Budget Reserve. Lawmakers in both chambers have said they support funding these programs, but a compromise might not be possible before tomorrow. The special session must end by then. That means the Power Cost Equalization Program and university scholarships may not be funded starting on July 1st, which is the first day of the new budget. The Senate budget approval came after some drama. It failed in an earlier vote, but Bethel Democratic Senator Lyman Hoffman moved to rescind that vote. On the second vote, Hoffman changed from no to yes, allowing it to pass 11-6. Hoffman has said the state should make changes that would allow for higher dividends without drawing down the amount of money available in the permanent fund's earnings reserve. For Invasive Species Week, KMXT's Dylan Simard brings us this story of Kodiak's own unique invasive pest.
In the 1940s, Kodiak braced for invasion. Tens of thousands of soldiers and sailors laid infrastructure and built fighting positions, entrenching themselves in preparation for an offensive by the Japanese Imperial Navy that never came. Some 70 years later, Kodiak is a thriving community that is presently under an entirely different type of invasion. The invading force lives under rocks, attacks under cover of darkness, and tastes delicious. It is the signal crayfish, or crawdad as some know it. The signal crayfish is a small omnivorous crustacean, looking a bit like a lobster but smaller than the palm of one's hand. They have made their beachhead in the Buskin Lake of Kodiak, where they hide in mud and look for things to eat. Shunack tribe biologist Matt Vandale is among the vanguard of the resistance to this invasion. He says that its point of ingress into the island's freshwaters is not currently known.
There are a lot of ideas running around. There used to be a pet store in town that sold signal crayfish. Crayfish and signal crayfish are also really good bait to use in fishing. Maybe somebody had, you know, a crayfish boil and the kid wanted to release some of the crayfish and not eat them. So no one really knows for sure.
The signal crayfish is unique to Kodiak. You can't find it anywhere else in Alaska. That's a good thing, considering that they present an extreme danger to salmon.
Another behavioral trait of crayfish is that they like to burrow. They're called ecosystem engineers because they burrow so much and they dig so much. And especially the younger crayfish, the juveniles, the ones that aren't mature, exhibit a lot more of this burrowing behavior because they're attempting to escape from other predators, larger crayfish. And so the potential is there for these juvenile crayfish to burrow into a salmon red, a nest where the salmon lays its eggs, and find this incredible bounty of salmon eggs and gorge itself on salmon eggs. So not only start having negative impacts to the habitat, but also negative impacts to the salmon.
This begs the obvious question. Are the crayfish going to venture out and infest other waterways? Would they threaten the other salmon populations? Unfortunately, according to Vandale, there is simply no way to know yet. The strategy for now has been to monitor the population and track its size and behavior. Well, there is another strategy.
Go crayfishing. Take your family crayfishing. You know, it's a lot of fun going after these mud bugs, and they are delicious.
There aren't many species in Alaska that you are encouraged to hunt with reckless abandon. Crayfish are one of them. So long as you're obeying applicable laws where putting down crayfish pots are concerned, you are encouraged to take as many as you can eat and then some. Just be sure not to let any get back into the water, no matter their size. For KMXT in Kodiak, I'm Dylan Simard.
One of the best distance runners to come out of Alaska, Allie Ostrander, has revealed publicly that she has been struggling with an eating disorder. The 24-year-old Kenai Central High School graduate says in a video posted to YouTube on Friday, she is about 5 weeks into a program that requires her to spend 10 hours a day in a treatment facility. She says she's now putting her recovery ahead of training, including for the upcoming track and field Olympic trials. The sometimes tearful Ostrander says in the video that it was difficult to go public.
I hate hate that I have contributed to the toxic culture of an obsession with leanness and thinness and body size and appearance over ability. And I am just so frustrated with myself because I want to be a good example and I don't want the next generation to feel the way that I feel.
Ostrander says the decision to seek help was not entirely her own. She says her coaches with USA Track and Field and executive with her sponsor, Brooks Running, told her she had to go into treatment or she'd be dropped from the team.
I'm honestly thankful that I'm here because if they hadn't forced me to come, I never would have, because I'm never going to think that there's a good time. And like, maybe this season isn't going to be ideal for me, and like, I'm definitely prioritizing treatment as my number one right now, but I'm hoping that that's going to pay off in the long run, and it's going to give me a lot more seasons than I would have had without that.
Ostrander did not say whether she would still compete in the Olympic trials later this month. She is considered one of the top qualifiers in the 3,000-meter steeplechase. Lydia Jacoby is about to become the second Alaskan to compete in the Summer Olympics. The 17-year-old Seward swimmer placed second in the 100-meter breaststroke yesterday at the Olympic trials in Omaha, Nebraska. She broke the national age group record and her personal record 2 days in a row. Jacoby's cheerleaders back home in Alaska have been following her every stroke. KDLL's Sabine Pooks spoke with some of them about what it's like to watch Jacoby swim her way to Tokyo 2021.
Jacoby's Olympic qualification isn't official yet. That all gets finalized later this week. But by all accounts, she has a spot on the U.S. women's team. She finished with a time of 1 minute, 5 seconds, and 28 milliseconds, falling only behind Lily King, the reigning Olympic champion.
The bigger the meet, the better she does. And that's held true all the way up to last night.
Solomon D'Amico has been coaching Jacoby and Seward for several years. He's in Omaha for the trials.
It's pretty special. You know, you walk into the venue, especially in the evenings when it's finals and semifinals, and you can just feel it, you know.
The mood has been celebratory over 3,000 miles away, too. Sarah Spanos of Seward has been keeping other Sewardites updated about Jacoby's races on Facebook.
Just as a bleacher mom, I'm just fighting back the tears every time I watch her swim.
Her sons grew up swimming with Jacoby and Seward with the Seward Tsunami Swim Club. A few years back, the swim club raised enough money to get Olympian swimmer Jessica Hardy to Seward. Jacoby wears the pink goggles Hardy gave her to her meets. The Seward swim community is small. Spanos says there's also a sense of community across the Kenai Peninsula and Alaska.
Homer, Kenai Soldatna, it's really, really a tight-knit group, and I think that's what kind of makes it special, that even though she is just from Seward, Alaska, there is just a ton of people that are cheering her on.
Jacoby and her Seward teammates swim in a 25-meter pool, half the size of an Olympic pool. D'Amico knows of just one Olympic-sized swimming pool in Alaska, in Anchorage, but it's divided in half most of the year. While juggling her junior year at Seward High School, Jacoby's been swimming in Anchorage during the pandemic. That's where Cliff Murray, coach of the Northern Lights Swim Club, has been working with her. He says she's always been a strong swimmer, but she's also a delight to work with.
She's just always, you know, the most gregarious, fun, and kind person. I honestly think that she's going to be great for Team USA because she's going to be like that with the team.
Murray says it means a lot for kids to see one of their own make it to the big leagues. He thinks that's especially impactful in professional sports, which he says can be very image-driven.
It shows those kids that, you know, you can be a really sweet, kind person and still achieve, like, greatness in the sport. And you don't have to be, you know, a cocky superstar or anything like that. You can be kind and sweet and still just be a rock star.
The 2021 Olympics and Olympic trials were both pushed back amid the pandemic. The Olympics are now scheduled for this July in Tokyo, Japan. Until then, Jacoby and other members of the U.S. women's team will be training at a camp this summer and then in Tokyo. Jacoby's fans will be following from home. Murray says the swim club plans on having a watch party for the Olympics.
Absolutely. I think I might just cancel everything on the day that she's swimming and make it all about getting to experience that with her, you know, while she's doing it.
He thinks she has a legitimate shot at a medal. Jacoby swims once more later this week, the women's 200-meter breaststroke. It's not her stronger event. She's ranked 15 out of 54 swimmers. For KDLL, I'm Sabine Pooks.
The Haystack Mountain Fire was less active yesterday, and firefighters made significant progress toward containing the blaze near the Haystack subdivision north of Fairbanks. State forestry spokesperson Tim Mowry says the wildfire grew from 500 to 650 acres and was 25% contained as of last night. He says the blaze made a small advance south toward the subdivision on Wednesday, but firefighters were able to corral it.
Just came down and it jumped across Caribou Creek, which they were using as a control line, but they were able to jump on it pretty quick and they were able to catch that.
Mowry says 8 bulldozers are working to cut a fuel break around the blaze.
They've got a two-blade dozer line all the way down the left flank. That'd be the west flank of the fire. And there's a fuel break, an old fuel break that was cut north of the fire, and it did spot over that fuel break, but they're going to try to walk in a couple dozers and get around there, and they're going to have 6 dozers working up the right flank of it on the east side.
Mowry says they hope to have a line around the entire fire perimeter by the end of the day. Rain is expected to aid in the effort. The Northwest Arctic Borough village of Shungnak has not had any gasoline since April and is looking at a long wait for a new fuel truck. As KOTZ's Nicole Edmondson reports, Shungnak's residents are up against a slew of logistical challenges.
Shungnak is about 280 river miles east of Kotzebue up the winding Kobuk River. The only year-round access is a 150-mile airplane ride. You can also get there by river in the summer and snow machine in the winter. The roughly 270 residents get their gasoline from Shungnak Native Store, but the store hasn't been able to supply any since April. Tribal Administrator Kathy Custer says the village is facing several logistical challenges. Fuel is delivered to the village by air in the winter, and Glenda Douglas, the manager of the Shungnak Native Store, said the 70s vintage fuel truck they used to transport fuel from the airport to the store has been broken down since last year.
The one that we did have was very old.
Douglas said the first summer barge is scheduled to arrive in the village later this week with a fresh fuel supply, which can be transported to the tanks without a truck.
Crowley usually brings their own line that runs from the barge to our tank farm.
But there are a few more hurdles still in the way. The gasoline pump at the store isn't operational.
The oil side is good, it's just our gas side that isn't working right now.
Douglas says that while they work on fixing the gas pump, village residents have been traveling 10 miles up the river to get fuel in Kobuk. An additional problem Shungnak residents face is the fuel they do have is contaminated with water. Douglas said there are 2 gasoline tanks at the Shungnak Native Store, and workers have transferred all of the contaminated fuel to one tank, so they can refill the clean tank with the fresh fuel shipment arriving by barge. She said she hopes the store can get someone to Shungnak to help them clean the water-fouled tank before too long. A new fuel truck will have to travel by air to the village, adding to the overall expense, as there will only be one more barge coming this fall.
They'd fly here to Shungnak, because we missed the barge unless we're able to wait for this fall.
Douglas says the native village of Shungnak is working on a grant to purchase a new fuel truck. The village will likely face another fuel shortage this winter if these issues can't be addressed in the coming months. Reporting in Kotzebue, I'm Nicole Edmison.
Clear Air Force Station has a new name. In a ceremony Tuesday, the installation near Healy was officially renamed the Clear Space Force Station. Installation officials say the name change won't affect Clear's main mission, which is to scan the horizon for incoming enemy missiles and alert the U.S. Missile Defense System, including the base at Fort Greely, to the threat. Clear's ability to carry out that mission will be greatly enhanced in 2023 when an advanced $1.5 billion radar system becomes operational. Construction work on the long-range discrimination radar has been completed, and the Missile Defense Agency hopes to conduct a key operational flight test for the LRDR next year. There are no Space Force personnel at CLEAR. Officials say, for now, Air Force military and civilian personnel will continue to operate the installation.
This is Alaska Fish Radio. I'm Lainey Welch. Alaska's scallop fishery gets a bit of a boost. More after this.
Fish Radio is brought to you by Alaska Boats and Permits in Homer, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs, online at alaskaboat.com.
One of Alaska's smallest and priciest fisheries gets underway on July 1st, weathervane scallops. The fleet size is limited by federal licensing for only 9 permits, but just 2 boats take part in the fishery, which spans from Yakutat to the Bering Sea and can run through the winter.
It's a pretty specialized fishery. It's not something that you can just get into real easily. There's a fair bit of institutional knowledge and also specialized gear. Lots of people have some Tanner crab pots lying around in the backyard. Not everybody has a 15-foot New Bedford scallop dredge lying around in the backyard.
Nat Nichols is area shellfish manager at the Alaska Department of Fish and Game in Kodiak. The scallop fishery also is very labor-intensive as it includes catching and processing.
Sometimes there's a crew of 12 people on these boats that are shucking by hand. Every Alaska scallop you've ever seen was shucked by hand.
This year, the 2 boats will compete for a slightly increased catch of 345,000 pounds of shucked meats, which are the adductor muscle that keeps the shells closed. Scallops are a wildly popular delicacy and can pay fishermen over $10 a pound. Weathervane scallops are the largest in the world, and it takes them about 5 years to reach a marketable shell size of about 5 inches. Some can measure 10 inches across. Scallop boats drop big dredges comprising 4-inch rings to keep out smaller sizes. The fishery is co-managed with the federal government and has 100% observer coverage. Nichols says stock surveys are done every year, mostly at the biggest producing areas of Yakutat and Kodiak.
But given that the scallop beds are spread from the Yakutat to the Bering Sea, we don't survey every bed every year.
Total first wholesale revenue for scallops last season was estimated at over $2.3 million, meaning an average crew share of over $41,000. Find links at alaskafishradio.com. Fish Radio is also brought to you by OBI Seafoods. In Kodiak, I'm Lainey Welch.
This is the Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
Hello, this is the Alaska Department of Fish and Game in Kodiak with Kodiak Commercial Salmon Fishery Advisory Announcement Number 5, date issued 10 a.m. on June 16th. There will be a 48-hour extension to the current commercial salmon fishing period from 9 p.m. Thursday, June 17th, until 9 p.m. Saturday, June 19th, in the following areas: in the Outer Iqaluk section of the Southwest Kodiak District, and the Cape Alitak, Humpy Dead Man, Alitak Bay, Mosier Bay, and Olga Bay sections of the Alitak District. As previously announced, the following areas remain open to commercial salmon fishing until further notice: the Inner Katoy Bay, Outer Katoy Bay, Duck Bay, and Izuit Bay sections of the Afognak District, the Fowl Bay Special Harvest Area, and the Waterfall Bay Special Harvest Area. Closed waters are currently reduced until further notice in the following locations: in Fowl Bay to the stream terminus at Hidden Lake Creek, stream number 251-406. In Waterfall Bay to the stream terminus at Little Waterfall Creek, stream number 251-822. And to the stream terminus at Big Waterfall Creek, stream number 251-821. And to Katoy Bay to the fishing game markers located at Little Katoy Bay and Big Katoy Bays near stream numbers 252-323 and 252-324. Fishermen are reminded that in the Kodiak area, including the mainland district, until further notice, king salmon 28 inches or greater in length may not be retained by purse-seine gear in the commercial fishery and must be returned to the water unharmed. Other closed waters are as shown in the Kodiak area salmon statistical chart, detailed in commercial salmon fishing regulations, and statistical charts, harvest strategies, and commercial salmon fishing regulations are available at the Kodiak Fish and Game office. And, of course, the most recent salmon fishery information may be obtained by calling the department's 24-hour record phone at 486-4559. Thank you very much. Good luck fishing. This is the Alaska Department of Fish and Game.
A little early on that one. Welcome to your Island Messenger for Thursday. It is the 17th day of June, the year 2021. The sun rose today at 5:07. It will set again at 11:13, giving us 18 hours and 6 minutes of daylight. That's a gain of 33 seconds compared to yesterday. Our record low for this day was 36, set in 1966 and 75, and our record high for this day was 80 degrees, set in 2015. I think I remember that. Looking at our local tides, we have a low tide coming up here on the east side at 1:41 p.m. It'll be a 0.2-foot tide, followed by a high tide at 8:29 this evening at 6.8 feet. Our low tide for the middle of the night will be at 2:19 a.m. and be 2.3 feet. And our high tide tomorrow morning on the east side is at 8:07 a.m. and 6.4 feet. Over on the west side, Zachard Bay tides, your next low tide will be at 2:14 p.m. and be 1.2 feet, followed by a high tide at 8:48 p.m. of 11.8 feet. Your next low tide will be 3:01 a.m. at 3.6 feet, and your morning high tide will be at 8:49 a.m. and be 10.5 feet on the west side. Mariners, here's your weather forecast for Marmot Island to Sitkanat, Kodiak's east side offshore. Northeast wind to 20 knots now, seas to 7 feet. For tonight, northeast 20, seas to 7. For tomorrow, east wind to 15 knots, seas remaining at 7 feet. The Shelikof Strait, we have a small craft advisory through Friday. Northeast 25 right now, seas 5 feet, building to 9 feet in the afternoon with highest seas over the southern strait. For tonight, northeast 25, seas to 10 feet. And for tomorrow, northeast 30, seas to 9 feet in the Shelikof. Beginning June 18th and going through July 2nd, the City of Kodiak Public Works Department will be flushing citywide water mains. Flushing activities will encompass the entire water system. This activity is designed to remove the sediment from the water mains, which accumulates over time. During these activities, water system customers may experience discolored water. All water used in the flushing program and all water in the mains is treated disinfected water. And while the discolored water is this aesthetically unpleasant, it still meets all state and federal drinking water standards. If you experience discolored water, turn the cold water tap on your bathtub or another fixture without an aerator and let the water run until it clears. Avoid using your washing machine until you have clear tap water. And please drive carefully around the area where the hydrant flushing is taking place. If you have any questions about these activities or have any special needs, please call the Public Works Department at 486-8060. Kodiak History Museum is hosting local artist Woody Koning for a Meet the Artist event this Friday, June 18th, from noon till 2 p.m. That's at the Kodiak History Museum. Koning is a longtime resident of Kodiak Island, currently living and creating in Chiniac. KHM is honored to display an array of his art, which captures the beauty of Calson Bay through a variety of mediums. In addition to viewing Koning's pieces, the community is invited to hear personal stories and insights behind the art for places such as Roslyn Beach, Thumbs Up, and Elephant Rock, as shared by the artist during this event. KHM and Koning welcome anyone interested in delightful stories of history and art to attend. As this event is held on Friday, all Alaskan residents may also enjoy visiting the KHM exhibits at no charge. If you can't do it on Friday, it's open Wednesday through Saturday at 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. displaying his art. There will be some for purchase at the event. And again, that's Friday, June 18th, noon to 2 p.m. If you're missing live music, the Kodiak Arts Council and Lucky Pierre Productions are bringing back the Alaska bluegrass band Blackwater Railroad Company. They're coming to the fairgrounds on Saturday, July 3rd. The show starts at 6:30 with Frank Sullivan and Jillian Lee, followed by Ellamy Tiller and the Twang. Doors open at 6 p.m. Bring your camp chair and enjoy some food from the Kodiak Lions. Get your tickets at Kodiak Arts, that's all one word, kodiakarts.org. And remember, the Borough Assembly is having their regular meeting tonight. That's at 6:30 p.m. in the Bayside Fire Hall, and will be broadcast live here at KMXT.
Listen for the Island Messenger here on Public Radio KMXT 3 times a day, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m., during the Midday Report at 12:20, and in the evening at 7 o'clock. If you have a community announcement or personal message, including lost and found items or pets, you can call KMXT at 486-3181, fax us at 486-2733, or email psa@kmxt.org.